gonna go back, if everybody's good, to keep moving here. Let's go and finish up our initial investigative review so we can get rid of Mr. Stoll. Just kidding.
I like the way you phrased that, yes.
So I think, let's see, it looks like we're on number five, 23160, in regards to Jennifer Lavigne, I was trying to fancy it up. DBM. And Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Yes, case 23160, the complainants are Don and Mary Carter, respondent is Jennifer Lavigne, DBM. On June 10th, 2023, Nala, a 4.5-year-old female Rhodesian white back nurse, was presented to respondent with a 5-day history of not eating, vomiting, and diarrhea. Blood work and radiographs were performed, and the underlying cause of the dog's symptoms was not identified. Complainants did not want to pursue further diagnostics due to financial constraints and elected to take the dog home for monitoring. Treatments and medications to take home were provided, and the dog was discharged. On June 11th, 2023, the dog's condition declined and was terminated by an in-home veterinarian. And the committee concluded that any violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay. Thank you. We do not have the complainant here. We have Mr. Stoll.
Monitoring only.
Okay, monitoring. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, so in this case, I would tend to agree with the investigative committee's recommendation and dismiss with no violation. It was an unfortunate case with the dog was very sick. The attending doctor offered up good recommendations. They started to work the case up. They weren't finding any definitive diagnosis, and the dog was going to require additional care. Offered that was declined, and the owner opted for more palliative or easy care, I suppose, more cost effective, and just kind of watch the dog. So unfortunately, did not have the outcome that anybody would have wanted. So.
Okay. So is that a motion?
Motion to dismiss.
Second. Okay, we have
a for discussion.
Sure.
Point out the fact that there's a before it ever went to the vet, there's a 5-day history of vomiting and diarrhea. I mean, how can you expect to have a good outcome if you're going to wait that long for anything? You would not wait that long yourself to take some action if you had that problem.
I probably would too, but that's probably not a good advice. I think that this is going to happen more, and I would not want the owner to think that I'm judging their ability to care for their pet, because they did blood work, they did get this pet in, they did do things, and then they said, you know what, we can't do more than this, and we're going to hope for the best, and we're going to try some things, and it just didn't work out, and that is okay. Like, I think we have to stop thinking that everybody's going to be able to do everything that we have the ability in modern medicine to do. Until veterinary world gets to insurance like it is for people, we're not going to be able to do that. But they did at least get this pet in and try to get some treatment and try to get something going. So that's my only comment.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-160. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are now on 23-161 in regards to Eric Boschevin, DBM.
Case 23-161, the complainant is Julie Reese. The respondent is Eric Boschevin, DBM. On August 25th, 2022, Ziggy, an 11-year-old male domestic short-haired cat, was presented to respondent on referral for radioactive iodine treatment. Radiographs and blood work were performed by the primary care veterinarian. The cat underwent imaging that revealed a large, bright thyroid nodule that appeared benign. On August 29th, 2022, the cat was presented to respondent for treatment. The I-131 distributor did not have any treatment available, therefore the cat stayed overnight. On August 30th, 2022, the cat was injected with I-131 and hospitalized for monitoring. On September 4th, 2022, the cat was discharged. On September 13th, 2022, the cat was presented to an emergency facility for labor breathing and erectocentesis was performed. 300 mils of fluid was removed. Radiographs were suggestive of a possible medial sinal mass. Further diagnostics and hospitalization were declined, and the cat was discharged to complainant. On September 18th, 2022, the cat was normally euthanized by a mobile veterinarian. The complainant believes the respondent should have known that the cat only had weeks to live, thus provided an unnecessary treatment. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay, thank you. No complaint in here, and Mr. Stoll?
Monitoring only, thank you.
Kidoki, and Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Okay. In this case, first, we don't know what caused this rapid accumulation of pleural effusion at the emergency clinic and resulted in euthanasia. There was no CT scan, there was no necropsy, and according to the record, no fluid analysis. So in the ER, all diagnostics other than the imaging was declined, so we don't know. I found it very interesting that in the ER record, there is a cytology. And that cytology was read out as mixed inflammation, predominantly lymphocytes with total solids of 3.4, or lymphocytic population of cells. But I'll chalk that up to, they went ahead and looked at the cells, even though the fluid analysis had been declined, and then since they did, they decided to put it in the record, is all I can surmise. But I think it's important because what they found was a population of lymphocytes. The differentials that was discussed regarding this pleural effusion was heart failure and neoplasia. There would be others, but those were the ones discussed in the materials we have. And so the issue, I think, was did the respondent meet the standard of care in his pre-procedure evaluation of the patient? And we had the referring veterinarian do lab work and radiographs. And then, of course, his examination and his discussions with the complainant. So I would like to focus on the thoracic radiographs submitted to the respondent by the referring veterinarian about 17 days before this exam. And there's no notation in the respondent's record regarding his evaluation of the radiographs. In his narrative that we received, he did not detail that he viewed his viewing the radiographs. During the meeting, when asked, he stated that he did recall reviewing the radiographs, and they were unremarkable. That's what we heard in the investigative committee. There was no radiologist review by the referring vet or by the respondent. I think we should take note that there was cough in the history, which was the reason, along with the weight loss, that the cat initially presented to the referring veterinarian. And investigative committee member stated that he felt the radiograph was abnormal, although there wasn't any discussion of what that abnormality was. So at this point, I need to ask the doctors on the board here if they have any comments at all. I'd like to hear what they have to say about the radiograph in question.
I'm not a radiologist myself. I send all my radiographs out for evaluation because I know where my failings are. But I don't like that apex of the heart. It looks like there could be something going on there.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, no, I can't read it, so.
I said doctors.
Yeah, I would.
Or say base of the heart, I'm sorry.
Base of the heart.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, but again, you know, we're looking at it in hindsight too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at that, my eyes are drawn right to that.
Okay, so. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. So, continuing the discussion of that radiograph, and we look at the ER visit, where the radiographs were taken at that point and a CFAST ultrasound done. On the pre-thoracic radiograph, there is a description of that radiograph, and it didn't really say in the record, but by that language, that was done by a radiologist, for sure. There's an increased soft tissue opacity visible in the cranial and ventral mediastinum, and then goes on to list differentials for the suspected mass, recommending a fine needle aspirate and a CT. Post the thoracocentesis, after they drew off the fluid, then they repeated the CFAST scan, and the comments there are concern for a mass effect adjacent to the heart. So I look at that radiograph, and this patient is being evaluated for radioactive iodine therapy, and listening to what Dr. Wright said, listening to the investigative committee doctor, and my interpretation of those radiographs, I believe that should at least been further investigated before doing the radiographic, the radioactive iodine. There's an abnormality there. I wish we had a radiologist's opinion, and I can talk about that in a minute, but I'm worried that we just had information from the referring veterinarian that we got the blood work, here it is, got the radiographs, here it is, there is no problem, and so we went ahead. And so I see a failing there of a proper pre-procedure evaluation of this cat. So at this point, I would make a motion that we would find a violation in this case. And bear with me, get to my would be 23, 22, 32, 22. I had it written down here, I'm sorry, bear with me a second. Motion. I'll find it. There we go. Okay. 32-22-32-12 in regards to Administrative Rule R311-5011, failure to follow professionally acceptable procedures and use of current professional and scientific knowledge, failing to recognize a significant relevant abnormality in the radiographs on taken 8/8/23, leading to a potentially unnecessary procedure. And so that would be my motion.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would just say that I would caution about saying, like, I think that there was some emphasis on that x-rays should be sent to a radiologist. I feel like if somebody is comfortable reading those, it's not a mandatory thing to send to a radiologist.
Oh, I agree. So,
yeah, I just felt like that was kind of a big piece of the earlier conversation. So just
yeah, about sending it. Yeah, if a, both veterinarians in this case were comfortable reading those x-rays and read them as unremarkable. No, they don't all have to be sent in. I agree with your point too, that you send them all in, and this might be a reason why.
Yeah.
But no, it's not mandatory that they are read by a radiologist.
I think it's interesting too, like just on the radiology discussion, as to I would be on the board with Dr. Wright, where I would be sending in everything just because I would want comfort that I didn't miss something.
Yeah,
exactly. Right? We've gotten to the stage where it's like, you're gonna be found in violation if you happen to miss something that might have been on an x-ray. And I think that has caused people to err on the side of everything needs to get sent in. And is that the right answer? I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it should be offered to everybody, and
maybe you should be doing more CDs on radio.
You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to detect everything. That's a practice of medicine.
It happens all the time. How does a radiologist specialist get to be a specialist?
Well,
I mean, I know not everybody's going to do that.
They go to an additional like 3 years of school and do an next. Like, I mean, seriously, it's not. I get why we have boarded radiologists, and I'm not saying that cases shouldn't be sent to them. I probably would send all of mine to them, but I just feel like I think people are getting afraid to really truly practice.
You shouldn't be pressured to send everything when you should be able to read some stuff.
It's kind of the standard in veterinary medicine in general. We're all able to do anything. I mean, we're not really limited by statute on what we can do, as long as we can do it competently. That's kind of where
I tried to make the last main upset.
No, I'm not upset. It's one of those where it's like, man, what's the right answer on this? Because this is what has caused veterinary medicine to get so expensive to where no one can afford it.
And human medicine too.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a motion and a second, and then we had a lot of discussion. Are we done discussing? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, I would like to offer a consent agreement in this case. And before I would get into that, I would like to make a motion that we would go into an executive session for legal advice.
Second.
Questions.
Okay, and a motion and a second to go into executive session. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
No, no, I can't.